Turn with me to the book of Ephesians, my favorite book of the New Testament, chapter 4. As you're turning to Ephesians chapter 4, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, that'll help you. Chapter 4, I want to answer this question. I am asked of at least once a week about this. Brother Jesse, why do you work so much? You're always traveling, you're always going. In other words, I should have took the day off today because I'm preaching almost every day next week. Okay. Kathy just came back from Louisville because she preached Friday. I preached Thursday. I mean, we're just constantly going. And people say, why? Why do you preach so much? Well, reaching people, changing lives one soul at a time. But there's a reason why I do what I do. And I'm going to show it to you. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27 says, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. Which means you got the ability to shut down the person that's stealing from you. Let him that stole steal no more, verse 28. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good. Notice why. That he may have to give. Or to distribute to him that needeth. Let me say it again. Verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give or to distribute to him that needed. Title of my message is, Why Work? Or you can do a subtitle, The Unrecognized Truth About Honest Labor. Why do I work? Am I working just so I can have a retirement? No, I'm never going to retire. How do you retire from a calling? You cannot. I may slow down as I get older, but on the last, if Jesus tarry, on the last day that I live, I'm going to preach a revelation and give you a vision. Why work? So that I may be able to give to him that needeth. Now, when you preach something like this, you'll have everybody calling, I need this, I need it. I'm not your source. Amen. Lazy. That's why I ain't much on welfare. Welfare is great when you're in a tough time and in a bind and it helps you. But you should never become welfare-minded. Because it's never enough to get by. I mean, thank God that the United States government has a program, and I believe in that for those that need it. But when you don't want to be generational welfare, because you'll never get out, you'll stay in that hole and get deeper and deeper, and you'll never be able to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish, and your own self-esteem. But thank God we got a country that can help poor people. But we don't want them to stay poor. So why work? I want to talk about this honest labor. Let me read that verse again. Let him stole the steel no more, verse 28, but rather let him labor, working with his hand, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Now write this down. Work honestly done is man's cooperation with a divine worker, God. You see, I'm in cooperation with God when I work. Let me say it again. Work honestly done is man's cooperation with a divine worker. Who is the divine worker? God. So when I'm working, ladies and gentlemen, I'm in divine cooperation with God Almighty. Because he knows that he's already met my need. He's met my desire. He's met my want. Now I'm actually working for others that are able to give and do things that I want to do for the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of times my board of directors and a lot of people say, but Jesse never tells people what he does for poor people. I'm going to just be honest. You don't realize how many children I feed. I'm talking about physical feed. How much I help so many different people. How many girls that are in trouble that I help. And you know why? Because why don't you say much about it? Because the Bible said, don't let your left hand know what your right hand doing. I'm helping the poor. So I don't talk about it. But most people are doing it on television to move you emotionally so you can give to them. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. And there's nothing wrong with giving to them. I don't want you to stop that neither, because they need help. But I made up my mind that my work would increase the seed that I'm able to be a blessing to anyone I so choose to be. So work, honestly done, is man's cooperation with a divine worker, God. Now watch this. If you're not busy working as unto the Lord, the devil gains a foothold. And from that foothold, he can develop a stronghold. Write it down again. If you're not busy working as unto the Lord, the devil gains a foothold. And from that foothold, he can develop a stronghold. See, I don't let grass grow under my feet. I'm constantly preaching the gospel. And a man my age, I mean, I'm not that old at the time of this year. You know, I mean, I got white hair. I got hair that looks 100 years old, but I'm not 100 years old. I made up my mind that I would just keep going. Why? Because I don't let the devil steal from me. During hurricane season, what we do, we draw the bloodline. And if people have enough fear to pull it in here, then I say, God, shut down whatever part of that storm's around this place. But I tell you what, we can have enough shield of faith. What we need more is not floodgates. We need shields of faith put all over Lake Pontchartrain, all the way down Plaquemine Parish, all the way around. Bam, when that storm hits that, no, it can't cross that. Why? The power of God's word. You see what I'm saying? So, if you're not busy working as unto the Lord, the devil gains a foothold. And from that foothold, he develops a stronghold. I refuse to have the devil have a stronghold in my ministry or in my life. That's why Jesus put healing in the Bible. See, when sickness comes upon you, it becomes a stronghold. It grabs you first as a foothold, then it begins to develop into a stronghold. And notice you can't do nothing when it's in a stronghold situation. So I said, by his stripes, I am healed. I were healed. Yeah, but I am sick. I'm not dealing with my am sick. I'm dealing with my word healed. I'm getting rid of the stronghold. You see what I'm saying? But I don't even let him give a foothold, much less a stronghold. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Write it down again. If you're not busy working as unto the Lord, the devil gains a foothold. And from that foothold, he can develop a stronghold. Now, why does God want us to work? I mean, why? Well, first thing, so that we can give to him that needed it. But also, you're working with your hands. In other words, you're keeping yourself busy. Why? Write this down. Work is divine education and part of God's discipline for the human race. Work is divine education and part of God's discipline for the human race. You see, in Genesis chapter 3, God told Adam he'd have to work by the sweat of his brow. That has to done, that it became a curse. I'm going to deal with that in just a minute. But God made a curse a blessing. I'll deal with that in a few minutes. See, he said, you're going to work by the sweat of your brow. Now, did he work before? Yes, he did. The Bible said he said, dress the garden and keep it, which means, bless God, he had that work. But it wasn't done by sweat. It was done because you just loved what God had given you and you took care of it. People say this about Covenant Church and Jesse the Planet's ministry. You know, he's built this years ago, but it looks like he built it yesterday. They keep it up so nice. They keep the grass cut. We keep everything painted. If we see something that's wrong, we're always trying to fix something because, you know, people wear things out. Every once in a while, we'll walk around and see one of these pews is starting to wear out. So we start fixing a few things and things of that nature because that's going to happen. But you see, if we don't just let it go by the wayside. Why? Because you see, God's house must be done and kept correctly. He said, keep it and dress it. So that's what we do. We're constantly putting up curtains. We're constantly changing things, doing that. Why? We're dressing it. You see what I'm saying? We're doing what the Lord told Adam to do in the garden before he lost it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So why work? Well, bless God. Why not? Let me just say it again. Work is divine education and part of God's discipline for the human race. I am a worker from day one. I have been working since I'm 6 years old, but I've been working full-time work since I'm 11 years old. At 6 years old, I was cutting grass. I mean, I didn't go nowhere on Saturday. I didn't play with kids. I cut grass. That's what I did. And he gave me 50 cents or a quarter, and I used that, bless God, to buy me some candy or whatever. I bought my mama something, you know, whatever. I did that. Then when I was 11 years old, I got a job working 8 hours a day from about 3 o'clock to 11:30 every day, Monday through Friday, and on Saturday from 7 in the morning to 7 at night. You can't do that today because of, you know, minor laws and, you know, children's laws. But I did. I worked. My father and my mother never gave me nothing after I was 11 years old. I paid rent to stay in my own house. Daddy charged me $40 a month to make me a man. I would have preferred to be a kid and keep the money, but you know. So when I married Kathy, I didn't have no problem getting an apartment or taking care of her because I had been working since I'm 11. Bought my own clothes, bought everything. I'm serious. All that. Bought my mother her washing machines and dryers. I could do that at 12 years old. Why? Because of work. See, I'm not bragging on that. And you know what? It kept me out of trouble. It kept me. I didn't have time to get in trouble because I was always working. See, so work is divine education and a part of God's discipline for the human race. You see, a person may do the work, but work makes the person. Write that down. A person may do the work, but work makes the person. You see what I'm saying? Why? Because you see, it's something God wants you to do. Now, you know, I mean, one time I said, I like to try lazy once in my life. Just once in my life, just do nothing. Kathy said you'd go slap crazy if you did nothing. I think it was one of the great coaches in Alabama. I think it was Paul Bryant, he said if he would retire, he would die. And you know what? He retired and he died. What kept him going? Work. So work first started out a curse and it became a blessing. You see, even when the devil said, we're going to just beat that brains out, God said, well, I'll take that curse and I'll turn it around, make it a blessing and a discipline for him. And a person may do the work, but work makes the person. I like it when I go up to a place and see a young person working in a hamburger joint, sweating like a mule. You know, they could be out there trying to sell drugs and things like that, as if that's going to make a life for them, when all they're going to do is wind up losing their lives living on the streets. And then now they got these people trying to hurt some of these kids that are working, throw things at them at the drive-up window and all that kind of stuff. That's a crying shame. Lazy, no-count kids in a car just trying to hurt someone. They ought to be going to work. But you know, it's not their fault. We live in an unparented world. I heard Holly Gasport said that. And I said, I got to preach on that. Use that as a statement. An unparented world. A parentless society. Let me tell you why kids are messing up, because the parents won't do it. I've seen some of the kids. Did y'all see that thing the other day about a mama telling a kid to slap a guy on a bus? Even though he was a bully, she says, whoa, she going to jail. Now, I mean, that bully shouldn't have been doing that kind of stuff by no means. But my God, you don't tell your kid to do that kind of stuff, because all you do is create another little gangster that we don't need. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But you keep people busy working, bless God. It's a lot. You don't have time to listen to the wiles of the devil. So a person may do the work, but work makes the person. Now write this down. The Christian motive for working is to give and distribute. That's what he said that. But let him work, labor working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may give to him that need it. Let me write it down again if you're taking these notes. I'm going kind of fast because I don't want to hold you too long. The Christian motive for working is to give and distribute. This should be the purpose, aim, and end of honest labor. I'm not trying to work just to keep me and Kathy, when we get old, we have something. No, I have a purpose, I have an aim, and I have an end. And what is that? To be a giver and a distributor. Let me say it again. The Christian motive for working is to give and distribute. This should be the purpose, aim, and end of honest labor. Honest labor. I have a purpose. That's why I work. I have a purpose. I have an aim. I have an end. So I can be a blessing. Glory to God. It's to give and to distribute. Not just so I can build up a nest egg for me. Nothing wrong with a nest egg. But after a while, my Lord, if the egg get big enough, you can't eat the whole egg. So what you start doing is building eggs for other people and be a blessing to them. See, Christianity leads me to give to others what is rightfully my own. Write that down. Christianity leads me to give to others what is rightfully my own. I don't have to give, but I labor with my hands so I can be a giver. It's going to work. It's an honest way of making a living. So then I don't make a living. Now I make a giving, Donna. That's what I do. I work to give. I don't work to live no more. I work to give. Now, years ago, I used to work to live. Because, you see, my vision never went any higher than working, making a living. But I thought that was such a hard thing, making a living. But when I began to change my mind and making a giving, I found my living became easier. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. All the time in my life when I worked to make a living, I struggled to make ends meet. When I changed my way of thinking and started working to make a giving, my living got easier. Because you see, my motive was wrong. And all my life, I always heard, you got to make a living, boy. Got to make a living, boy. Okay. Yeah. But what happened was, how many of y'all know it's very hard sometimes to get two ends to meet? Am I telling the truth? Because you're making a living. But if you begin to change, you say, you know, I'm going to work 2 hours more. I may get paid a little bit more so I can be a giver. God says, what did he say? He's changing from a living to a giving. Oh, Lord. And Christianity leads you to give what is rightfully yours. You don't have to do it. But there's a lot of times I just go out and just able to be a blessing to somebody. There were times I went out and worked to buy presents for other people. When I was a little boy, Mama said, what are you doing? I said, I want to buy something. Oh, boy, you worked hard. You ought to keep your money. You see, Mama didn't know what she was saying. Mama was actually telling me wrong. Boy, you got to make a living. You got to save that money. And I understand saving money is good to misunderstand. But after a while, I got to a point where I found it was so wonderful to be a blessing. It's very hard for you to go to dinner with me without me buying your meal. Not I'm trying to show off. I just like doing that. It's just such a blessing to be able to be a blessing. The other day we went to a restaurant here in New Orleans, and my Lord, a person just blessed me. Well, I won't name, I guess I don't, maybe they might, you think they wouldn't mind me saying that? Anyway, make a long story short, I brought out some people for the 10-year anniversary. It turned out to be how many? 41 of them? All the pastoral staff. How much we had? 41 of them? 41 of them. And I hope they don't mind me saying this. So I'm saying, you know, I want to be a blessing to the pastoral staff and all that kind of stuff. 10 years of hard labor, blah, blah, this and that. And I'm ready to pay for this meal. Derek was there. Bless God. He's eating them rib. Lord Jesus. You should see Derek eat rib. Derek eat rib good. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And that was Pastor eating his salad. Just eating salad. I think, man, losing weight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, we all did. And that meal was over $700. That's a lot of people. And so these two waitresses came up. I said, let me have the bill, please. We are swore to silence. Someone paid for it. No. I look in right now. I said, who paid for that? We cannot say. I said, well, don't say, just point. So you don't break your word. Should I keep the name private? What you think, David? Are they here today? Where are the violas? Where they at? There she is, right there, yeah. Where they at? Yeah. There they are, right there. Stand up, sweetheart. Just stand up. Sit the viola right there. Hallelujah. Right there. Okay. I got television lights. It's hard to see. Okay. How was that guy? Sue and Jean. Yeah, okay. Now watch this. You may be seated. I just want everybody to see that. Her husband, I said, first thing first, this is 41 people eating. That's a lot of food and a lot of money. And he paid for the whole meal. And he said, and I heard a lady thought, I hope Jesse wasn't offended. No, I wasn't offended, but I just haven't had any too many people come up and buy $700 meals. I went, oh, he said, happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. They did that. I don't know if anybody else, does anybody else give Covenant Church an anniversary gift? I'm sure they did, but I'm just saying, I don't know. I don't know because they handle it. But I thought, what a blessing of the Lord. So I'm believing God for a hundredfold. Just hundredfold. Just blessing and business and whatever. Didn't have to do that. Then it dawned on me. He worked last week for a giving. You see, and when you begin to change your way of thinking, because when you're making a living, you're only thinking about moi, me. But when you work to make a giving, now you have the heart of God. And then your living is taken care of better than you could make a living at doing it. And your giving begins to expand. Oh, Lord. So Christianity leads me to give to others what is right to my own. Let me add this. Work should be a part of your worship. Work should be a part of your worship. Do you know what I'm saying? You are making a giving, and what's happening is it's a part of worship. Let me get back to what my mother said. Why are you doing that? I said, I want to buy grandma something. Boy, you don't need to spend that much money on grandma. Well, no, I didn't need to spend that much money on my grandma, but that wasn't the issue. I wanted to. But boy, you need to rest. You've been working all week. Man, I didn't work, what, eight times five is 40, and then 12 hours on Saturday. So that's 52, huh? That's what I worked at 11 years old. And you know what? But I bought my grandma something. Amen. And I remember I used to tell Mr. Stump. I know he said, he really liked me. He loved me, that man. I said, Mr. Stump, y'all need any work done on anything else y'all want me to do? He said, Jesse, you done put in 52 hours, boy. You're not tired? Yeah, but I want to do something for somebody. I want to buy something for someone. Why don't you buy that for you? Why don't you use that for yourself? Oh, I said, I will one day. I didn't realize that I was being scriptural as a very small boy. So I could be a blessing. When I married Kathy, or when I dated Kathy, Kathy thought I was so rich. And I was poor as a church. But I would work and do extra hours so I could buy her something. Kathy was poor. So it was like, but I had a good job. And I'd say, I didn't have to work overtime. But I did, because I knew Kathy liked clothes. And all of a sudden, I'd say, hey, Kathy, I said, let me buy you some clothes. Oh, we're not engaged in none. I said, I mean, the difference, I worked a few extra hours here and it'd just be a blessed day. She said, you got to be kidding me. I said, no. So we take it on there and I'd buy us a suit or whatever. I don't know, maybe half of that stuff. It used to be a place in the home of Louisiana called Jeffrey Garrett. It was in the mall. Kathy liked that kind of clothes. And what she didn't know was that I might have worked 6 to 7 hours overtime so I could be a blessing. Now, I was putting scripture to work, but I didn't know I was. I just thought, people said, he's so nice. But see, God honored me, gave me good health to work that extra time. He blessed me. See, oh, you want to say, I realized I was worshiping God in my giving. But in my mind, I was making a living, but in God's mind, I was making a giving. Is this good or what? Do you hear what I'm saying? That's why he said that you work honest labors, that you may be able to be a blessing. Now, I don't let people abuse that because that's hard sweat and hard work, and it's an honorable thing. I just don't let people abuse that. And a lot of people will abuse it, but the only way it can be abused is if you let it happen. Laziness produces poverty and brings you into want. Laziness produces poverty and brings you into want. I can use Ron and Pia. A lot of time I'll call Ron and Pia. I say, hey, I say, y'all want to go somewhere, do something? Ron's working. Ron work all the time. That's why you get all them stories. He meets so many people, got a story. Glory to God. And let me tell you something. He's an honorable man. He gets hit hard too. He gets hit hard because of the color of his skin. He married to a white woman. We don't know what color Pia really is. She's from Germany. Them Germans, man, they just took over the world. You know what I'm saying? Glory to God. But you know what? He's got abused that. He's a hard, honest worker. Somebody's afraid he might get up all over him. Let me help you, Ron. You will. All those that come against you, buddy, I want to tell you something. Because you're a giver. That you making a giving. You busting your can out there working hard. Making it. Why am I? Your day is coming. And when it comes, they ain't gonna be able to do a thing about it. They always working. I was not promoted sometimes because I was a Cajun. Can I just be honest with you? I was introduced when I started preaching as a coon-ass preacher. Now y'all excuse me, they're on the world, the whole net just did this, Lord Jesus. That's what they call Cajun people down here. And it was a shock to me. And I'm the richest coon you ever saw in your life. Glory to God. You call me what you want. I don't make no difference. And they did. They didn't care. They thought it was funny. It was joking on the square. It was a racial slur. That's what it was. But you know what? That didn't stop me from not preaching because I refused to be lazy. It produces poverty and increases want in your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's why I say, so it changed my whole way of thinking when I quit trying to make a living and started making a giving. I found out, I said, man, I need some extra money because I got to buy this gas. I'm talking about the essentials of life. All of a sudden, I had the essentials and I was still able to give. And you know, I never wanted what I gave away. Maybe I shouldn't have given that. No, I was glad. Even once I put it in their hand, then it becomes their responsibility. Now, if they mess it up, that's their baby, not mine. I obeyed the Lord. I'll write this down. Work began as a curse. I'm going to get with this. And now has become a blessing. Why? It preserves society as well as the individual from the corruption of idleness. Now, I know that's a long point, but I'm going to slow down and say it again. Some of you are writing it down. Work began as a curse. He said, Adam, you can work by the sweat of your brow. And has now become a blessing. It preserves society as well as the individual. That's what work does. It preserves society as well as the individual from the corruption of idleness. You see, you remember they used to say years ago in school, idleness is the devil's workshop. You see, let me say it again. Work began as a curse and has now become a blessing. It preserves society as well as the individual from the corruption of idleness. You will not find me being idle in my life. You see, when God said to work, I do that. My next point is this. We should never invent ways of our own, but rather use the ways God has appointed. I don't invent ways of my own. Let me say it again. We should never invent ways of our own, but rather use the ways that God has appointed. You see, when I see people working hard, I don't look down on them. When in the building of this facility here, I'll never forget that. I was in my office on Stowhouse Lane, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, I want you to go to the bank and get six $50 bills. I heard it like you're hearing me. I went, what? Get six $50 bills, and I want you to walk out on the construction site. I said, all right. He said, put on some old shoes. He said, I want you to walk off into the concrete. They're pouring concrete today. Well, I knew that. He said, walk off into that concrete, get a shovel, and help them pull that concrete and pull it around. And give each one of those men a $50 and tell them that I'm buying them dinner for them and their wife or their girlfriend or whatever. I heard it as much as you hear me. You know what I did? I called Kathy. I said, Kathy, I'm going to the bank, get six $50 bill. What you going to the bank for to get six $50 bill? I said, the Lord told me to go to the construction site, walk off into the concrete, give each one of those men $50 and tell them he's buying them dinner for them and their wife or their girlfriend, whatever. And that's it. She said, well, what are you talking to me for? Go do it. So I left the office. I went down and I got six $50 bill. I heard the voice of the Lord. I come walking out. Guess what? I didn't know the truck was there. Now, sure enough, there's the truck. Pulling a slab. Pulling that parking lot right out there. I come walking out, and they didn't call me the preacher. They called me the owner. They said, who's the owner? The owner's coming. I come walking out, and I had on these old shoes, old busted-looking tennis shoes and stuff like that. And I think I had some shorts on, so I went to get some shorts. And after I got, I stopped in the house, you know, and did that. I come walking, I walk right into the concrete. They went, oh, oh. Then they called me a reverend. Oh, reverend. I said, give me a shovel. What? I said, give me a rake. Man, and I'm pulling that. Boy, that's hard work. Oh, Lord. I'm pulling that. They go, oh, you can't. Don't do that. And Ray Cronick says, oh, Ray, Jesse, don't do it. He's a contractor. I said, no, come on, help me. I'm pulling, boy, I mean, you pulled about three times on that rake or that. You start sweating, man. It's hot out there, you know. So I'm going to pull. And most of these guys were black and Hispanic. I would say there was six of them. I would say probably three black guys, three Hispanic guys. We just pull. They go, oh, no. Ray. They didn't know what to do. I said, come on. And, you know, finally, man, I get out of there. I said, oh, by the way, man. And now I got cement and concrete on my hands, stuff like that. So I do all this. I mean, you know, because it's coming out of that truck, you know. We pulled it all out. I said, oh, the Lord told me to give each one of y'all $50. Go buy you and your wife something to eat or you and your girlfriend, whatever. They just looked at me. I said, what? I said, yeah. Oh, Reverend, you can't do that. I said, I already have. And then tears came in their eyes. I saw these, all six of them. And one of these black gentlemen said, you know, they treat us like trash. You know, we're the trash of the construction world. You know, they call us diggers where they dig out the stuff. And, you know, they just treated, you're the only person that ever treated us like a man. I said, man, I just want to thank you. Y'all do such a fine job. And I said, oh, by the way, I got some Cokes and stuff I brought. I said, get you something to drink. That's hard work, man. And that was it. And they just didn't know what to do. I said, have a nice day. Give me that water hose. Took the concrete off. Now watch this. 4 or 5 months later, we decided to pour some back here. Everybody point back here. And we weren't expecting to pour back here. In this little corner right over here. So this building goes into a pie shape. There's another parking lot back here. For us to get back there for guest speaker. Okay, you put your hand up. Watch this. So we weren't supposed to do that. Not all of it, all the way. So we decided we better do that. So we call those same guys. Oh, yeah, we're here. Watch this. It's called working to make a giving. And they ain't never heard of that in their life. Them guys working for a living. So they poured that thing and they, you know, they straightened it out how they do all that stuff, you know, with the trial and all that. I mean, it's really kind of something to see how you can do that. You got to know what you're doing. You don't just throw it out there, you know. So anyway, I come back there and say, hey, guys. Hey, Reverend, how you doing? Buddy's all excited. Hey, Reverend, how you doing? Reverend? I said, I'm doing fine, guys. How y'all doing? And I looked at their form and I said, hey, listen. I said, I'm going to see my finance director. Just give me your bill. It's $14,000, okay? Give me your bill, and I'll just go have her cut the check, and I'll come back out in about 40, 50 minutes. And yeah, well, we don't have to wait till the end of the month to get it and all that kind of stuff. They went, oh, no. And they were standing there with their shovels and their rake and their trowel. They said, oh, no. I said, excuse me? No, this is for free. I said, what? They said, we never forgot that, Reverend. You treated us like human beings. You didn't see what color we was or what nationality we was. You walked off in that concrete. We never had the owner of anything ever do that. No, we would like to do something for you and for God. I said, y'all worked to make a giving today. Change their lives. See my point? I will never forget that. They were so excited. Yeah. And do you know the contract labor? I gave them Christmas bonuses. Oh, remember, we don't work for you, we work for the contract. I said, no, I'm going to give you all a Christmas bonus, and I'm going to take you and your wives out to dinner. I didn't even recognize them when they got to the restaurant. Them boys clean up good, let me tell you. I didn't recognize any of them. They had some of the prettiest wives, but they was all cleaned up. I said, Joe, what happened? He said, we took a bath. We combed our hair. Remember that, Kathy? We worked for 4 solid years. I gave them a Christmas bonus every year, like as if they would be on my staff, and I took them out to dinner. They said, you know, no one ever done that for us. Why? Because they were working to make a living. I was working to make a giving. That's called honest labor. I'll never forget that. It touches my heart when I think about it. The highest aim of labor is to help those who need help. This is simple, but it's true. The highest aim of labor is to help those who need help. Just that simple. Oh, I love that. Let me say this. I'm going through this real fast. That should take a long time, but let me finish with this. Working to give means more than right and more than reward. Working to give means more than right and more than reward. It means the overflowing of love, which is spontaneous and undiscriminating. A love that is always costly. My work to give is always costly. I share my labor, my sweat, and my money. Let me say it again. Some of you are writing it down. Working to give means more than right and more than reward. It means the overflowing of love, which is spontaneous and undiscriminating. A love that is always costly. That's what he was saying there. Let him work with his hands. The thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth it. Now, I don't let anybody abuse that, because you see, when you abuse something, then you're abusing someone's love. You see what I'm saying? You're abusing one, and we refuse to do that. Now, I just barely touched this. I know some of y'all didn't get it. You weren't able to write it all down, but it's already 12. I don't want to hold you too long. My point is this. When you get past that, I got to make that living. No, I got to make that giving. And then your living comes. I mean, and it comes big, and it comes fast. You'd be surprised. I had a person one time, let me say this in close. I was at Your Brother's Church at First Assembly of God in North Little Rock, Alton Garrison. When I first preached for Alton, oh God, this is 20 years ago, 20 something. I forget what I do sometimes. Now Alton don't ever forget nothing when it comes to money. Because Alton's a smart man. Alton, he'll be preaching here in December. Brilliant, you know, he's good at it, because, you know, when you gotta run something like the Assemblies of God mission, you gotta have your act together. How to do this. Watch this. I went to his church. Ron, this was the first little old church. That's the way he built it doing. Man. And I just said, Lord, I worked hard and I just got a bonus and a blessing. I was just really doing. God had truly blessed me. And I thought, man, wow. See, I'm the kind of man, when I get extra money, I ask the Lord, what do you want me to do with this? Because it may not be for me. It may be for you, Ron. And God trusts me enough to bless you. Or it may be for me, Kenny. It may be. Or it may be for you. I don't know. You know, it's just, you get that over and above blessing. I always think of over and above giving, but there's such a thing as over and above blessing. See what I'm saying? So, man, I had a blessing. I had a blessing, man. So I said, so I went and preached for Alton. Alton said, well, Jesse, do your thing. I said, okay. Boy, the gifts of the Spirit start moving, flowing. Boy, I mean, I'm walking down in my Holy Ghost touching. And I see this old couple. Oh, he must have been 75. She's about 72, something like that. They looked a little older than their 70s. You could tell I was a hard-working man. They'd been, you know, from the sun. You know, you could see that kind of leather skin. You know what I mean? I said, y'all come up here. And they came up here, man. They go like this. He said, yes, sir. I could tell he's a little nervous. First thing he said, we Baptists. I said, I guess y'all not used to this. No, sir. But, you know, I seen you on television, and I just like it. I said, God sent me here today for you. You've always wanted to take your wife to Hawaii. He looked at me. She goes, everybody got quiet like you did. Alton went, what's Jesse doing? I said, I'm going to send you and your wife to Hawaii. I got $5,000. Can I do that? She busts out crying. He busts out crying. Alton busts out crying. Everybody's crying. I'm the one that should have been crying. It's my money. Can't even $5. I thought, gee. Well, I gave it to him. We sent him to Hawaii. Oh, it was one of the most amazing things. I mean, they just went slap crazy. Well, I went and preached with Alton several times after he built the new church. And we went in his office by race. He says, I'll never forget that day. But one day you won there. When you sent them people to Hawaii. Oh, yeah. I said, yeah, I remember that. I said, man, the Lord had really blessed me that week. I got $5,000 I never expected. And I thought, what is this mine? Now, I could do anything I want. It's rightfully mine. I certainly work for it. But you know what? I don't even know if that couple's still living. Probably they'd be 100 years old. Now, maybe not. But they never forgot it. Because every time I went back, they'd say, do you know how much fun we had? We never had nothing like that in our lives. I said, tell me again. I love memories. I love stories too, Rob. Because stories are reality. It's where people live. See what I'm saying? They're just right where they are. And it just blessed me. And I don't know how many times. I forget a lot of times some of the things we do. Good Lord, Jesus. I don't know how many. And people said, do you know how much money you would have if you'd have kept all that? I have more than that.
That's right.
Kept all that. I would have more. I have more than that. I can take this beautiful woman anywhere in the world today. Let me help you. Anywhere. If she points a place on the globe, I can pay for it. I can take her there. I'm not bragging. I'm giving God glory. Isn't that wonderful? She said, you never will because you're always working all the time. You only give me 3 days to go to the world, you know. That's true. I took Kathy on an African safari. You should have seen my wife. You ought to see when the baboon saw. Hey, sir, you can see the baboon. That's a pretty woman, boy. Look at that baboon. Oh, that's a pretty woman. I said, Kathy, don't open up that thing. We had a cabin out in the jungle. And they said, don't open them in there because they are thieves. They will steal you blind. Monkeys and all kinds of things steal you blind. God bless us so much. There was an African bull elephant. We couldn't even go to our room because there was one there. So we didn't fight him. We just let him stay right there. Finally he walked off, went in there. Kathy said, I didn't think she was going to like it because she gets so mad at me because I watch those Discovery Channel stuff. I love that stuff. I don't see how you get into that stuff all the time. All them beating them blind, beating them poor little animals up, just kill them. I said, but they got to eat, Kathy. You should have seen her though after she saw it in person. She told me today, the greatest vacation you ever given me was that African safari. I said, you got to be kidding me. How'd you like to be sleeping at night with a net over you like the Hollywood movies? You wake up in the morning and there's bugs all over the net this big. That's why they got them nets. They got the biggest bugs you ever saw in your life in Africa. I ain't kidding you. I'll tell you one thing. But you know what? Kathy loved it. I always want to be close to one of them elephants. Don't. When you pray for something, you're liable to get it. We was in that truck, in a Jeep. I call it a Jeep, but no top on. When you're sitting down, you see those kind of safari-looking things. So we drive out there. I'm talking to the lion, man. Just slap, kill a warthog. Pow, just kill that warthog. Just start eating him. I go, wow, look at this thing, man. And the guy says, don't stand up. I could get from me to Ron from that African lion. If I stood up, he'd kill me in a second. But he thinks I'm part of the vehicle when I'm sitting down. So I am no threat to him. But if I stand up and break that silhouette, I'm dead. He says, do not stand up. I said, okay. I said, you mean we can get that close? Yeah, he said, because they see these machines and ain't no problems with them. You can talk loud, all that. It's really an amazing thing. All of a sudden, there's this elephant. Come on. So, you know, he'd start and drive, and then he'd cut the engine off so we could look. All of a sudden, he said, well, the elephant's getting a little close. We're going to have to pull away. Oh, Jesus. We sitting there. He said, don't move. Here come the elephant. And he got that old wet trunk. I'm just sitting there going, I mean, this thing can take us out. The elephant comes up to the Jeep. I could see sweat running down that guy. Don't move. I said, spit all you want, son. I ain't moving. Spit all you want. That's Kathy. Kathy had the camera. I said, Kathy, you can put the camera down. I ain't moving. I'm just. Kathy looked like a cyclops. She had one very big camera. I said, the Lord bless. That's right. I said, the Lord bless me on that. I went to preach that, and he took me there because she said, okay, let me tell the story. Let me tell the story. So what happened was, I mean, that elephant smelled me. And the Lord said, you wanted to be close. Not this close. Not this close. And that elephant looked at me. I looked at him. And he pulls back, puts his trunk down, like, and walked off. We all just sitting there going. The guy says, oh man, we never know what they're going to do. It started. He said, y'all want to look anymore? No. I said, that elephant sucked all my courage out. He just touched me, but he's drunk. I'll never forget as long as I ever live, but now that's close. It was wonderful. And how I got there, I finished preaching, and he said, Jesse, you broke racism in this church in South Africa. You broke it. I mixed them all up. Black. They got black people, colored people, and white people. There's three classifications over there. I made them all sit, mix them all up like they had a fit. People went, we can't do this. This is before Mandela got out of jail. I said, I don't care. I'm preaching this book, but I'm going to mix this thing up. And I did it, broke it. It was just such a blessing. We had 10,000 people. They were in the parking lots 3 days before we got there. What a miracle of Jesus. Well, Pastor Theo and Bev, they said, Brother Jesse, would you like to go on a safari? We want to pay for it all. That's right, they gave us that, huh? That's a lot of money. I said, no, I'll pay for it. That's not the issue. And I didn't think Kathy wanted it. I said, you know, not Kathy. Why? Because there's no Neiman Marcus. There's no Macy's. She said, you're a terrible man. But you should have seen her, man. It was great. Now she wants to go back. But I'm going to bring me up some breath freshener for that elephant. Maybe go. I just stood there and took it. But it was one of the most amazing things. Well, you know what? Theo and Bev worked to make a giving instead of just a living. Did you enjoy it this morning? Give Jesus a hand clap. Stand to your feet. Come on. Give him a hand clap. Work. Why work? The unrecognized truth about honest labor. So let me just say it again, and I know it's late. It's 12:23. If you'll take and apply what I said today. And just start off. It don't have to be much. But it can become much. I know some people now live on 10% of what they make and give away 90. And their 10% that they live on is bigger than they ever did when they lived on 90%. Isn't that amazing? Even the IRS told me that I could be, oh, do you realize what you've done? Yeah. Yeah. It's the kingdom of God and what it's all about. In fact, I think I'm writing a little bit in my partner letter. It was so strong on me. I know you work hard for what you do. And we don't take advantage of that or take it for granted. But I promise you, you stick. There will come a time when need will no longer be a part of your life. You will want for others because all your wants will be made, taken care of. Isn't that amazing? I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, I know what I'm talking about. Take the person's hand next to you. I know it's late. If you don't know Jesus, we already prayed for people to get saved, people get healed. Father, I thank you for these wonderful people here today. And thank you, Lord, that it started out with the sweat of our brow, but you took it, that work, which was a curse, and made it a blessing. I ask you to bless these people. Honor them spiritually, physically, financially. They're hard workers. Bless them, Lord. Honor them today in everything they set their hand to do. And we will honor you because this is the Lord's day and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Now lift your hands up as an act of faith and receive your miracle. Hey, some of you young people, let me help you. Why don't you work a little bit? Go bless your mama. Go bless your daddy. Go bless your grandma. Go bless a friend. Do something like that. Bless your church. Bless it. Think about that. And God will set in line the destiny of your life. That's struggling. You won't be saying, well, what do you do for a living? Nothing. I work for a given. So I can be a blessing to others. That's what it's all about. Give the Lord a standing ovation.